Most reality TV is fake. But when it comes to John Taffer and his show Bar Rescue, there's nothing more real than this.
You had a bad experience in this bar, correct?
John Taffer is the world's number one bar consultant. He's been running the world's most successful bars around the world for more than 35 years.
I'm a businessman. I've stared in the face of failure as I've turned around businesses that are failing.
Now on the Triple M Grill Team, a show with three guys that know a little bit about bars themselves, please welcome John Taffer.
Yeah, we certainly do. We certainly do. Particularly the bloke sitting across from me.
Yeah.
Now, John, welcome to the Grill Team.
Great to be here.
Mate, great to have you on board. John, congratulations firstly on your show and congratulations on your success.
Thank you, guys. It's great to be talking to some barmen.
You got that right. Now, John, here in Sydney, like in the US, we've got a great affection for our pubs, clubs and bars. And everyone, all of us thinks we're capable of owning our own bar, but few really are. How much of a science is there to running a bar or a club?
Oh, it's a huge science. And everybody says, boy, it only costs a dollar to make that drink, but they sell it for $6 or $8. You know, they forget about the rent, the insurance, the labor cost, you know, all the other things that go with it. You know, bars aren't inherently profitable. If you want to open a bar because you like to drink, do it in your basement. Don't do it as a business. It'll cost you a lot less. It's a tough business. Now, you know that.
Yeah. Now, John, like you managed your first bar in 1978, way back, the Troubadour in West Hollywood, legendary live music venue. Tell us about that experience and what did you learn? I believe it was quite a tragic first night.
It was. You know, when we took over the Troubadour, it was losing money. There was a flood in the kitchen that was about, I don't know, 8 inches deep, and we took pallets, wood pallets, and threw them on the floor so we could walk over the water. It was like a river. And the owner was a little into recreational activity, so I'd put the money in a safe every night. I'd come in the morning to pick up the money to buy liquor, and all the money would be gone. So, you know, I had to work against an owner. I had never done it before. The place was flooded, but it was famous. And, you know, we took that fame and we fixed it and we turned it into a success. But, you know, I didn't know what I was doing then. And it taught me a really important lesson in life that even though you don't know what you're doing, if you work hard enough, you can figure it out. And I did.
Maybe your early interest in political science helped you out as being one of the world's best bar consultants. John, as we walk into a bar, I bet it did in a roundabout sort of way.
It did. You know, the bars are all, you know, look, life is political. Bars don't sell alcohol or beer. They sell experiences.
Mm.
And I believe that we don't even play music in bars. We play human reactions. We achieve it through music.
The product is the reaction.
Yep.
Now, I believe the cook in the kitchen isn't creating an entree or a meal. He's creating a reaction. He's doing it through the meal. So I'm different, guys. I don't believe that food and beverage is the product that we sell. I believe the reaction is the product that we sell, which means when that plate hits the table, you got to sit up. You got to react to it.
100%.
When that drink hits the table, you got to react to it. And when that server or waitress comes up to you, you got to react to it. And in my business, and I know you guys are going to agree with me, he or she who creates the best reactions wins.
I couldn't agree more. I know when I walk into an establishment, the one thing that I notice is the ambience and the music in the background. How much does that play a part in running a good bar?
Oh, hugely. You know, first of all, you're not going to go to a place that you think is uncool.
Mm.
And music defines your definition of cool. So people don't go where you don't play their music. They go where you do play their music. I own a patent here in the United States on music management. I'm a nutcase. You know, beats per minute curves, music content curves.
Wow.
If the beats per minute are too low, too long, you get bored and leave. If they're too high, too long, you get burned out and leave.
Fascinating.
So there has to be a curve and a pattern to pace, to energy. And you know, even lighting is important. The lower the lights, the closer your faces get when you talk to each other. You start to lean in closer. So I can create intimacy with beats per minute and lighting levels.
Mm.
And those are the sciences that you know, that excite me, when I can get you to do something that isn't normal for you to do. Dance more, drink more, laugh more, meet somebody. That's when it's fun.
Oh, that's very cool. Now, John, you did say that you put down a lot to obviously your experiences and so forth, but your mum is a key part of your life. Can you talk us through your love of your mum and what she has taught you?
Sure. You know, my mom, who passed 4 years ago, was a great inspiration to me, but she was one tough woman, boy. I mean, if she got in a bad mood, there were consequences for me.
Right.
So when I was 4 or 5 years old, I learned at a young age, wait a minute, if I could change my mother's mood, my life would be a lot better. Because when she was happy, she was amazing. When she was not happy, she was not so amazing. So
yep.
I learned when I was 6, 7, 8 years old to watch her facial expression and to use humor and cuteness and jokes and everything I could think of to change the dynamic of the minute. And I found that I could do it. I could change her mood. So then when I got 10, 12, 13 years old, it started to become natural to me. And believe it or not, if we were sitting in the same room and I was talking to you and you all started crossing your arms or doing body language that was rejecting what I was saying, I subliminally will change direction in the middle of a sentence and not even think about it. Yeah. Until you put your hands on your chins and lean in. So I'm all about reactions, and my mom really taught me that when I was young by managing her reactions.
Hmm. John, we've got Pagey here, who's our bar connoisseur. Now, Pagey was just telling us before, he would love one day to own a dive bar here in Sydney. What advice would you give someone who was looking to, say, if someone came to you and said, John, I want to start a bar here in our city, what would you say to them?
Well, first of all, make sure you have enough money, because bars don't fail. They run out of money. Mm. You see, a lot of people that open new bars, whether it's Sydney or any place, what happens is after the first month or two, you start getting good at it. You start figuring it out. It starts to make sense, and then you run out of money and you close. If you had more money, you would have been able to get past it. It's almost like a football game. It never ends. It just runs out of time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Time, I could have won.
Yeah.
So bars are very much like that. You got to have the money to cover your mistakes. But you know, when you mention a dive bar, that's my favorite kind of bar in the world. Mm. People think of dive bars as old or tired or frayed or worn. You know, dive bars to me are dark, they're woody, yeah. They're cozy, the kind of place you hang for a long time, right? You don't come in and leave quickly. Mm. It's very much a guy's kind of place typically. But there's nothing about a dive bar that says it should be dirty or worn out. Mm. It just has to have that dark, you know, cozy, woody kind of feeling, which, you know, in very many cases down in your part of the world is very pubby. You know, there's a fine line between a good pub and a dive bar.
A bit like the Spring Lounge we spent in New York there for about eight hours.
That was that's right.
It was a nice bar until we walked in, and then it was a dive bar.
Hey, John, now you sat on the board of the NFL.
I got to say a funny thing.
Yeah, go on, John.
Years ago, I created an Australian beach club in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Wow.
And I took an Australian beach theme, and I built a whole nightclub. It was called the Australian Beach Club, and it ran for years for me. And, of course, there is no such thing as that, and I created it. But I created another food type in Myrtle Beach, America, that doesn't even exist in Australia, called Australian Skewers. And I created a concept in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, that has 30 types of skewers. And what I did is I took Australian flavors, kiwi and various Australian flavors, and I made beef, lamb, chicken, wow, and seafood skewers. Mm. And I created what looks like Australia, and I created an Australian skewers concept. So all the customers that come to this restaurant think that skewers are really a big deal in Australia. So they get on a plane, they fly down under, and they want to go to an Australian skewers restaurant, but there isn't one.
No. We're going to come and do an outside broadcast from there.
Hey, John, talking about some of your ventures, you sat on the board of the National Football League's Enterprises, and you invented the NFL Sunday Ticket. Now, what exactly is that, John?
NFL Sunday Ticket is a package here in the United States where you pay a subscription fee for either home or a bar, and you get access to 18 games at the same time. So football here in the United States is very day of the week centric. So Sunday is all the games play.
Yep.
So you have, you know, 8 or 10 games going simultaneously received through one digital satellite dish. We created that product for the NFL years ago. And then there's marketing materials that come with it and promotional opportunities. So really you can get 8 or 10 different team fan clubs in the bar at the same time. You put them in different areas of the bar and everybody interacts. It's fun.
Oh, mate, it's fantastic. That's the great thing about going to the States on a Sunday.
Red Zone.
Yeah, the Red Zone.
Oh, the Red Zone.
Yeah, amazing.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Hey, John, look, we've got to go. We've got to move on with the show, but, mate, we can talk to you all day.
Oh, wow.
But really appreciate your time. And once again, people, A&E Channel on Foxtel, Bar Rescue. John, it's a terrific show, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, mate. Let's talk soon.
Yeah.
Cheers, John. Have a good one.